Come before this morning. I believe somebody who has met the Lord Jesus Christ in the new birth is a changed person. I believe it just like Brother Virgil has preached it this morning. Brother Virgil, somebody told me one time whenever I was talking to him about how a child of God can be disobedient, that I must believe that the grace of God in a man's life is in the presence of Jesus in his body is no different than formaldehyde in a dead person's veins. And I knew then that I had done a poor job of explaining what I believed about the disobedience of a child of God. I believe a child of God can be disobedient.
Sure.
But I believe a child of God is a changed individual, and that one who has been touched by the Lord Jesus Christ has indeed been brought a great change in his life, as Brother Virgil has given to us here this morning, of several things that a child of God can do that prior to that could not do. My mind this morning is on the second chapter of the book of 1 Thessalonians. If you have your scriptures and want to read along with us, I had intentions this morning of revisiting some of the messages that we had touched on in the families of the Bible, but this morning my mind is just not there, and I pray it be because the Lord intends for me to speak upon these things from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, where the word of the Lord says, starting with verse 1, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before, and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. The second chapter of the book of 1 Thessalonians is very similar to the first and half the second chapter of the Apostle Paul's letter to the churches of Galatia, in that it's a review of the events that took place in the life of the Apostle Paul. The first chapter of the book of Galatians and half of the second chapter is dedicated more to his overall ministry. Starts at where he was changed, where the Lord struck him down on the road to Damascus, and brings us right through his ministry to that particular point when he wrote those churches at Galatia. The second chapter of the book of 1 Thessalonians is a review, but it's not a review of the whole ministry of the Apostle Paul. It's a review of his time while he was at Thessalonica and while he was preaching to the church there that he was blessed to establish and to constitute by the grace of Almighty God among these people. And one of the things that he draws their attention to several times throughout the second chapter, and that's what I want to look at several times throughout the second chapter, is the characteristics of the gospel. In other words, how do you know when what you're hearing is the gospel? He draws their attention and shows them how to pinpoint the difference between the gospel and something that is indeed not of God, not brought to you by God. And he tells them here several times, what are the characteristics of the gospel? You know, I believe with every ounce of my being that if the Apostle Paul believed that it was important for a church that he established, and let me tell you something. The Apostle Paul was one that there ain't been a church established since the ones that the Apostle Paul established that were established by any sounder of a man than the Apostle Paul. I'll say that. He was a man that was taught directly by the revelation of Almighty God. He was a man that I believe he was blessed and inspired to write the majority of the books of the New Testament that you and I read from today. And if he established this very body by the hand of Almighty God and thought that it was important for them to know the characteristics of the true gospel, I think it's important for us to know the characteristics of the true gospel. In other words, determining how do you know that which you're being given is from above and not just a manufactured version of it that this world would tell us. Well, the first thing that he tells us here is given to us in verse 2. He tells us that one of the characteristics of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is that it's given to you in boldness. It's given to you in boldness. He says in verse 2 that we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. In other words, how do you know if that which is being brought forth to you is indeed of God? It'll be preached with boldness. It'll be preached with power that cannot be produced of man. It must have come from another source. It had to come from God. You know, we live in an age that one of the most aggravating things of the times that we live in, and I've got a whole laundry list of things that aggravate me about the times that we live in, but one of the more aggravating characteristics of our day and time is how politically correct that everybody has to be whenever they speak. You can't even tell a joke in public that makes any reference to race. And you know, you say, Brother Will, now we've gotten past those times. We ought not to. You know, there's nothing wrong with joking from time to time about my country upbringing. You know, there's some funny things that people can chuckle about some of the things that I saw growing up in the country like I did. But this day and time, somebody's automatically offended if you make a reference to a redneck or to a country boy. You can't do it. Can't do it. Can't make any joke about a Jew that even Jewish people would laugh at, because you have to be politically correct. You know, somebody made a comment one time that about me being a politician one day, and I said, won't work. It won't work because I'm not near enough politically correct. How long do you think it would take somebody to review messages that are on our website that would have my campaign canceled immediately? Because, you know, you have to be politically correct with everything. Well, let me tell you something about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You don't have to apologize for the truth. And the truth that is given by God Almighty is something that should be proclaimed with boldness and not with apology. And that's what the Apostle Paul is telling this church, is that we were bold to preach our gospel unto you. And in other words, whenever I got done speaking to you, the Apostle Paul is saying, you did not doubt that what I had preached unto you was of God, and that I believed it, and that you should believe it, and that you should follow it, because it was given unto you in power. He says in chapter 1, for our gospel came unto you with much power in the Holy Ghost and with much assurance. And in other words, there was something behind those words that was more than man. And it was the truth that was given unto us by God Almighty. And it must be proclaimed with boldness. With boldness. You know, I appreciate what the psalmist David said in the 117th Psalm. You know, that 117th Psalm is only 2 verses long. And it says, praise ye the Lord, all ye nations. Praise ye the Lord, all ye people. And he says, for his merciful kindness towards us is great. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. And because that truth endures forever, you can stand upon it. You can trust in it, and you can boldly proclaim it. And that's what the Apostle Paul was saying here, that you sought. And you know, I believe with every ounce of my being that whenever the Lord blesses a man, as he's done Brother Virgil this morning, as he did Brother Gary last weekend, as he did the other ones that have stood before you here in your midst, that you can see that the things in which they are proclaiming unto you, they match these characteristics according to the way that the Apostle Paul told the church at Thessalonica, that you should see these things in boldness. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of Almighty God. And why? Because it has boldness behind it. You know, some people misunderstand me whenever I say boldness. They think that somebody's got to be as loud as I am in order to be bold. That's not what I'm saying at all. Some of the more soft-spoken words that carried the most weight were very softly spoken. And that just happens to be the personality of the man that's bringing it to you. If you'd run into me about 15 or 20 years ago, it'd probably been me. But it's just not my personality anymore. It's just who I am to be as loud as I am. But nevertheless, the truth and the gospel, it must be given with boldness. Another characteristic of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that he gives us here is that down in verse 4, where he tells us that which they preached to him was not pleasing unto man, but it was pleasing to God. In other words, not only should the gospel be preached with boldness, it should be a message that is not directed to please man, but God. He says, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. In other words, our interest as we gather at the house of God to hear the message that God would have us to hear that day. It may very well be something that causes us great at times. It can stir up sometimes even anger within a child of God. You know, I remember very well, I've heard Brother Tommy Roundtree say from the stand many times. He says, the first time I visited the Primitive Baptist Church, you know, Brother Tommy grew up a missionary Baptist, Brother Virgil. A lot of people don't know that because he's been a member of the church so long down there in the community that I grew up in. Everybody thinks that Brother Tommy's always been a Primitive Baptist. Well, he grew up a missionary Baptist. And he said, the first time that I visited Old Canoochee Primitive Baptist Church, where my mom and daddy are members now, he said, whenever I left there that morning, I told him, y'all won't ever see me down here anymore. He said, I left mad. He said, because those things that they taught there were so opposite of everything that I'd heard. He said, it made me mad. Yeah. He said, I told him, y'all won't ever see me back here anymore. And you know, I got a packet in the mail this week from Elder Harold Hunt about the glory, according to the glorious gospel which was committed unto my trust, preaching from the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. And he's preached from here about his experience of hearing the gospel for the first time, and how whenever he heard the truth and he heard the man proclaim it with a boldness, that he went back home and he said, I'm going to find the scriptures to prove that man wrong. I'm going to find the scriptures that prove total depravity wrong. I'm going to find the scriptures that prove that that somebody can indeed save themselves and can meet God halfway in order to get eternal life. And said every time I found them, instead of finding something to dispute it, I found indeed that that which they were preaching was the truth. Sure, it may have stirred up something in anger in them the first time. Why? Because it's something that they've never heard. But the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is not given unto us to please man. It is given unto us to glorify and to please our Heavenly Father. The Apostle Paul said, "Do I persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I shall please men, I shall not be the servant of Christ." And you know, sometimes whenever you tell somebody that you were conceived in a state of death and trespasses and sins, it didn't just come upon you when you got to an age of accountability, when you got 12 years old. And you were old enough then to decide whether or not you wanted to be a child of God or whether or not you wanted to be a child of Adam. You were born in a state of death and trespasses and in sins.
Yeah.
Even a child in their mother's womb without the grace of God touching them first, and it can touch them in their mother's womb. We have scriptural proof that it can. Jeremiah is one. John the Baptist is the other. That the Lord touched while they were in their mother's womb is that until that change came upon them that Brother Virgil has talked to us about this morning, until something came unto them, they were indeed dead in trespasses and in sins. Now I want to tell you, you want to talk about stirring up a hornet's nest. You go and tell a mama whenever she's holding that baby that's kicking and frailing and everything else and pitching a fit that, oh, he's just behaving like his old forefather Adam. Oh, I tell you what, that won't be something that necessarily is going to please man, but that is the truth according to God Almighty. We stand in need of Him to change us, and those messages, those truths, and that is that except He come down with His arm, except He come down with His Spirit and change us from that state that we're in, we are indeed in that very state, and there's nothing that we can do about it. Every single born-again child of God was born again the same way, and they were changed by the presence of Almighty God. And that message is one that we preach because it pleases God. It gives Him every bit of the credit for the blessings that we have in eternal life. Every bit of it. You and I cannot stake a claim to any of it. We cannot stake a part in it at all. So not only does He tell them that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is one that must be proclaimed in boldness, He tells them that it's a message that pleases God and not men. He tells us down in verse 7, and there's a few minor points that we could be making in some of these verses as we go along, but that's not the focus of our message today. You know, I also appreciate what he says in verse 3 about it not being one of deceit. The gospel is not one that you feel like you have to deceive somebody in order to get them to follow it. And you say, well, doesn't the scriptures refer to the apostles as being fishers of men? You know, with a fishing lure, don't you deceive that old fish to bite into it so you can bring him into your boat and you can scale him and you can get him all cleaned up to throw him in the frying pan? Isn't that sort of a deceit? You know, whenever you're fishing with a fishing lure and you indeed pull a fish into your boat and you're able to take that fish home and pop him into the grease, you need to look at the fishing that the minister of the gospel does is the very opposite. The fishing of the man that the minister of the gospel doesn't fish him out of that pure water to pop him in the grease. He fishes him out of the fire of this world to pop him in the pure water. It's the exact opposite of it. It's not given in deceit. It's something that ought to be straightforward. You ever seen somebody? I pray you don't feel this way while I'm preaching to you. If you do, we got troubles that go a long way back. But you know, you ever watched a minister on TV? And just felt like he was just loading you full of a bunch of stuff just to try to get you to do it. He just say, I know he's deceiving me. I know that he's telling me to do something with my finances. He's telling me to do something. And I just feel kind of like like whenever the folks that come by and knock on your door and want to just give you just a little bit of their time, do. Whenever you come by, you just kind of want to get out of their presence because you feel like they're deceiving you in a certain way. But not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What it does is it points you and directs you so that you can tell folks what this will give them in their life and the blessings in following therein, so that it's not a message of deceit. It's one that's straightforward for you. You know, you don't have to sell it. It'll sell itself. Just tell them what the Lord tells them and tells us in His Word, and it'll sell itself. These are characteristics of the gospel. It's not a deceit. It's with boldness, and it's something that is pleasing to God and not necessarily to men. He also points out
the character of the men that brought it to him, that being himself. That being a characteristic of determining whether or not it's the true gospel. Verse 7 tells us that the Apostle Paul says, but we were gentle. We were gentle among you. And you said, Brother Will, didn't you just point out about being bold and proclaiming something? But now here you're touching on being gentle. You know, gentle, I don't know about you, but when I think about gentle, I think about just a little old babe, you know, so gentle and wrapped. You know, think about our Savior whenever He was born, you know, and He was wrapped in swaddling, just a little gentle babe. But that's not the context of gentle that's given to us here. The way that this word is used here in this context and the way that it's used in other places in the New Testament tells us that those that are gentle among them are those that are approachable. That's what that means, is applicable and approachable. In other words, somebody that you feel like you can talk to. You know, and that's what the Apostle Paul says, that you can determine whether or not those things that are being proclaimed among you is being proclaimed indeed of God, is that the man that proclaims among you. You know, there's some responsibilities of the minister of the gospel to conduct himself in such a way so that those that are seated under his preaching and those who hear him preach would feel like that which they're getting is from God. You know, how would you feel if whenever you got here on Sunday morning, if I was sitting up here, I never spoke to anybody, you sang the hymns, and I got one of the deacons to do the prayer requests and do the announcements. I stood up and I preached, and as soon as we said amen, I hit the truck and I left and I went home. How would you feel about that? Have you ever had a boss that you shuddered every time you walked in front of his door? Especially if you actually needed to go in there, because you never knew what kind of mood he was in that day. You never knew whether or not you'd be able to ask him anything that day, because he might be kind to you or he might just bite your head off. You know, that's the way a lot of us felt whenever I was in college towards our coach. Whenever we saw him trotting out of the field house, coming on the field, we'd all say, what kind of mood's he in today? Oh, is he fixing to put us on the hill and have us run up and down the hill? Or is he actually going to get out here and smile and us enjoy this for what it is? We never knew how he was going to react. He was not approachable at all. You just didn't know what you had. The minister of the gospel must be one that's gentle. A minister must not strive but be apt to teach gentle, shewing all meekness and all. And these are things that the minister of the gospel must possess. And he says you can determine whether or not indeed these things are coming to you of God, because it can be, the truth ought to be defended boldly. The truth is not a deceiving message. It's pleasing unto God, and the man that brings it to you must be one that's approachable. You know, one of the things that I pray you feel comfortable doing is if Brother Will ever says something that you don't agree with, that you can tell me. You know, there's some ministers that even whenever I hear him say something I don't agree with, I don't approach him because I know how defensive they're going to be. I'm not going to be that way. You want to know why? Because I'm a man. Brother Virgil, there's a reason why you can apologize about saying the fourth day. You want to know why? Because we're men. And mistakes we can say things that we thought that not only sometimes are wrong, but could have been stated better, could have been stated more clearly. And there's not a member of the flock of the living God that should feel like they can't approach the man that stands before them to ask, not only for a correction, but to ask to go into something deeper so that they have a more appropriate understanding. And that's what the Apostle Paul is telling the church at Thessalonica, is that's what we were among you when Silas and I came in among you. That's what we were, is that we were gentle among you. We were not ones that came with the crafty words, but we were ones that spoke to you clearly of the things of God. Two more that I want to go through. It says down in verse 11, it says that they exhorted, comforted, and charged everyone in that church. Is that they exhorted, they comforted, and they charged.
Yep.
So the characteristics of the gospel is that it's bold. It's not a deceitful message. It's one that's pleasing unto God. It's one that's brought forth by an approachable person. It also must include duty and responsibility of the child of God. He says that ye knew how you exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you into his kingdom and his glory. You know, there's a lot of people that think that because of the change that is given us in the new birth, and because the Lord has given us a new nature, because the Lord has blessed us for Him to abide within us, that's all that's necessary for a child of God to know what they need to do here in this life. Don't tell me what I need to do. You know, that's the attitude of a lot of people.
Don't tell me what I need to do. I cannot tell you how many times since I've joined the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that someone has shown me a responsibility that is contained in this word that before they showed it to me in this word, I did not know that it was my responsibility to fulfill. Which tells me that the Lord utilizes the minister and the preaching of the gospel to show us a more perfect way here in this world. Sure, the Lord does teach us things in the new birth. He teaches us to love. He teaches us to know God. He teaches us spiritual things in the new birth. But there's some instruction that we need here in this world, and it comes through the preaching of the gospel. You know, I think I've said this here before, and I'm not saying this again because we're coming up on a campaign season or an election season, and I plan on just letting you have it on who this church ought to stand for and so on and so forth. That's not my goal. Never has been. But I read in the minutes one time of an association that it was one of their rules of decorum of that particular church that there could be no mention from the pulpit regarding political things. You could not mention anything in the pulpit regarding the subject of political things. And I thought to myself, boy, if somebody had to tell me what I couldn't preach on from the pulpit, I'd have to find somewhere else to go. Because the truth, again, the truth is the truth.
Amen.
And there's some things going on in this world that the people of God need to know are wicked, that they're wrong, and that God is angry at, that He's fed up with, that we're seeing the consequences of people that will not acknowledge that there's a power higher than what they believe to be here in this world, and it's God Almighty. And that's one of the things that a lot of people have neglected and left off because, to be politically correct, we don't want to say those type of things. You know, we don't want to say those type of things. Let me tell you something about some things that are going on in this world that God is angry at. God is angry God is angry at the fact that it is legal in this country to kill a baby. God is angry at it.
Yeah.
And I can show you, according to God's word, that He does not find pleasure in it. But you know what? It's a political subject. Don't dare approach it. You know, if we want to speak the truth in boldness, that's exactly what we would say. God is angry at it. He's had a bait of it.
Yeah.
And whether or not the people of God can pray for God to change and for us to change our ways and to acknowledge Him in the ways that we should will dictate whether or not the Lord continues to bless us as we should. May the Lord bless us to see these things and to understand that this preaching of the gospel that the Apostle Paul brought to the church at Thessalonica, it was comforting. In other words, it included the gospel of God's grace and what He's done for you and what He's doing for you day by day by day. The message should include that because He is watching over us day by day by day. He is our mediator. He is our intercessor. He's on the right hand of God today. And every prayer that we offered up ought to be offered up in His name so that God Almighty would hear it and that He would indeed bless us in accordance with His own will. But in addition to those messages, we also need to be exhorted, which means encouraged in our walk with the Lord. You know, people of God need encouragement today. They need to be encouraged in their walk with the Lord because there's a lot of things, a lot of circumstances that are going on around us that are just not so pleasant. And whenever we see the unpleasantness of the circumstances around us, they need to be encouraged that I'd rather have the circumstances around me as they are and have my life in the bosom of my Savior than to be neck deep in the circumstances in the world and be apart from my Savior. And then you need that encouragement. He says not only are they exhorted and comforted, but they're charged as a father doth his child. You know, we have a lot of charges around our house. I was charged the day I was ordained, just as you were. I was charged in the work that I was about to begin to do. A lot of you heard it. A lot of you heard the charge. But a lot of you probably have not heard the charges that we give around our house from time to time. My children, they get charged. And if they don't listen to the charge, they get recharged with something on their rear end whenever I get home. And a lot of times all it takes is just a threat that that's what they're going to get. And you know what? All of a sudden that recharging comes on its own. You know, they don't want to face that whenever I get home. But you know, we have a lot of charges. There's some things that I expect them to do. I expect for them to honor their mother and to love their mother and to listen to their mother whenever she gives them a command, whenever she tells them to do. I expect that from my children. I tell you, children of God, today, if I can charge you with something that is contained in God's word, whenever the Lord encourages and tells you to do something, I charge you standing before you today, listen to what God says and do it. Do what the Lord tells you to do. You know, if it was If it was absolute and it was not something that you could rebel against, there'd be no reason for me to charge you and encourage you to follow in it. But because we can, you know, we can't rebel against the call of eternal life. We wouldn't want to, first of all. We can't rebel against that. That's something that's absolute that God brings, whether or not, and it's not based upon our obedience. But whenever we're talking about things here in this time world, we can absolutely rebel against the will of God and go against what He would have us to do. And I charge you not to do that. You know, as the Lord spoke to the Apostle Paul when He struck him down on the road to Damascus and He called him to go, what did He say? Don't kick against the pricks. And that's exactly what my charge would be against the child, to the child of God today, is don't kick back against the Lord whenever He tells you to do something. Go ahead and walk with Him and do as He's telling you to do. Last one. We've touched on boldness. We've touched on how it's straightforward and not a deceitful message. It's pleasing to God and not to men. It's something that the minister, the man who stands before Him, is that preaches it is an approachable person. And it also contains exhorting, comforting, and charging. Last one. Last characteristic of the gospel. And the Apostle Paul reminds the church at Thessalonica this, is that the world hates it. The world hates it. The world hates the gospel.
Yeah.
The world hated the Lord Jesus Christ. Hated His very holy presence among them. Couldn't stand Him. Could not reviled Him, came. You know, you have people that came to the Lord Jesus Christ for the purpose of asking Him questions that they earnestly desired the answers, but they came to Him more often than not when they had a question. And what they wanted to do, they wanted to trip Him up and embarrass Him because they just wanted Him gone. They just wanted Him gone. You know, to a lot of people here in this world, they just want holiness. They just want people that stand for what's right. They just want them gone because they don't want anybody to, they don't want to feel like they're being judged. Well, you know, whether or not there's holy people in their presence or not, they're being judged. Because it's not us that's doing the judgment. It's God Almighty that's determined what's right and what's wrong, not us. He's just given us here as to continue in the things in which He's told us is right. But He tells us in verse 14, He says, "For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews." Listen to what He says. He compares the hatred and the wrath that they faced from their own countrymen as being that the church of Judea faced by the Jews because they were set up right in the midst of a bunch of Jews. These Jews who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men. What does He tell them about this gospel and this truth that they have? The world hates it. Let me be real direct with you about what the Lord tells us in His Word about the world. The Lord is not interested in how the world views the church. He's not interested at all in us finding a way just to be more accepted in this world. If you can show me the book, chapter, and verse where the Lord tells us that He is interested in how this world views us and what we do and tells us to mold ourselves so that we would be more acceptable in the midst of it, I'll change what I just said. But you won't find it. I'll save you some time. You won't find it. What I'll tell you is that this Word tells us that there's one in heaven that we ought to be interested in, views us, and that we ought to conform ourselves to what would be pleasing in His sight and not in this world's sight. This world hated the Lord whenever He came into His own and His own received Him not. If I can encourage you in anything here this day, this 21st day of February in the year 2016, do not seek to please this world. You will not succeed in it if you want to walk with the Lord. Seek to please God Almighty. And He'll voice to you His acceptance and His pleasure in you for looking to Him and desiring to seek Him. You know, if we have to water down, you know, one of the things that is very alarming to me whenever you look at a lot of the religions of the world is I've heard and I've read a lot of these men that stand before thousands of people on Sunday and how because of the unpopularity that comes along with preaching about subjects of sodomy and about subjects of abortion, that because they're just not accepted anymore, that they're just going to avoid the subject altogether.
It's just too, it just divides us too much. And I can point you to the articles if you want me to point you to them. They'd rather avoid them and have a house full than to preach those things which are pleasing unto God and to glorify Him.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. This world is always going to seek to intertwine itself in our minds, which is a great part of the battle of our walk with the Lord. You know, we're battling for the minds. You know, I'm battling for the minds of my children a lot of times because I know the TV's got it a lot of times and going to sow certain things within it. You know, we watched Fox and the Hound last night. And you think, oh, innocent Fox and the Hound. Not innocent a bit. Not innocent a bit. For that fox to come up there and that hound not to put him on the go immediately when he comes there. He lets him go in there and destroy the hen house. And you know that teaching, imagine if a minister of the gospel took that approach. Well, we're just going to let the fox come in and meddle among the hens. And the next thing you know, you'll have exactly what they had on that movie. And that is that it drove them out of the hen house. In other words, he took them all with him. They weren't still there in the same place as they were to be protected. You know, we're battling for the minds of our children. That they would see spiritual things. That they would see and seek the Lord Jesus Christ. Same thing goes with each and every one of us as we endeavor to walk with our Lord here in this world. It's a battle of the mind. And whenever and I forgot what even got me off on that. I'll probably remember it about 5 minutes after I get done. I'm just going to come in here and preach to myself. If you want to hear why I got off on that subject, you can bring your roast beef back in here and listen to it. But nevertheless, the world hates the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It always has, and it always will, the true one. It always will, the true one. May the Lord bless us as we see these characteristics. I pray you find them in that you hear. And I pray that we pray that the Lord will bless us to always have them here in our midst at Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning.
Amen. Amen.